Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we have a double feature for you today, this week actually. Both Rena Owen and Alex Rowe from Freeform's Siren are here to get the mysteries and the questions rolling just before our mid-season finale, I believe, on Thursday, March 14th. The eighth episode will represent the mid-season break for Siren. And yes, Rena's interview took place before last week's episode, and Alex's took place after. So we have a little bit of podcast-induced time travel, but both interviews are a lot of fun. Also, just to remind folks, we are still accepting entries for the horror prizes available. To enter the contest for those prizes, just go to the contact page on sliceofsci-fi.com, fill in the contact form, make sure you use a valid email address, otherwise I can't get a hold of you to give you your prize, and in the message box, use the secret code phrase, "We're gonna need a bigger boat." Once you enter that, a secret section should open up, outlining the prizes available. Select the ones that interest you and hit send. And we'll go from there. But up now are Siren interviews with Rena Owen and Alex Rowe. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. And with me now is Rena Owen, star of Siren on Freeform. She plays the enigmatic and mysterious Helen, who we are slowly learning more about during season two's adventures. Welcome, Rena.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
So we had a little shakeup at the end of season one and more adventures in season two with more mermaids and mermen coming ashore and invading Helen's house.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of mermaid or merpeople wrangling this new season. Yes, and that becomes an ongoing problem in Siren, is because it's already been touched on that the oil company are out there and drilling, and the sonic sound and the destruction of the seabed is driving them. Is driving them out of the water, and so we being myself and Ben and Rin and Maddie, a challenge with how do we keep them, where do we hide them, constantly getting food for them and clothing them and everything else. And Helen volunteered in episode two that she'd go and get her trust fund money off Mr. Ted Pownall to help finance the merpeople, or the mermaids and the mermen. So yeah, we've been very, very busy with the new merfolk, and of course you've already seen that Helen's had screen time with the new merman Sarge, and that's been a really nice chemistry and a nice little subplot going on there. I can't tell you how that goes in the future. But we've got a lot of stuff. I mean, every episode there's new things, new stuff happening every episode. It's been a great ensemble for everybody. The trio being Ben and Rin and Maddie, that will always be central to the show. That trio will always be central to the show. But yeah, they've had a lot going on around them, and it's been fun. We've had some really fun stuff to do.
Yeah, it's almost been crazy, like almost too much to keep up with, because there's threads from last season with the, you know, not only just the oil, but the hierarchy of the merpeople, the tribe that's now on land, and Helen's connection to them, Donna's connection to them now, and we have just so many plot threads. How can the writers expect us to keep them straight when you guys are doing such a great job of hiding stuff?
Yeah, we're really good at that. You know, and Helen is particularly good at it because she's had to do it for 50-odd years. She's had to keep a secret. And she's been a great keeper of her secret that she is a hybrid. And so she's had a lot of practice and how to hide a secret and how to kind of, you know, protect yourself and therefore be able to protect the other mer people. And I think that's been an exciting thing in this new season is Helen finding out that she has there's someone else in Brismark in the region that she is related to. So she spent all her life thinking she was the only one. But as she said to him when he revealed to her that he has a sister, she said, all these years I assumed I was the only one, but of course there's more. It's like we've got our own little secret society going on. So that's kind of like opened a lot of doors and different things for Helen, finding out that she has relations, that there are other hybrids. And I think that's been the nice thing about Helen's journey is I've gotten to find out, along with the audience, new things that are going on or new relations or you know, meeting Sarge or meeting her hybrid cousin. And it continues like that throughout the first 8 episodes and definitely into the second half of 8 episodes where there's even more. I wish I could tell you, but I can't. But there's a lot of fantastic stuff coming up in the second 8. I mean, every good TV show has to have a cliffhanger. So, of course, there is a big cliffhanger in episode 8. But the cliffhangers are even bigger in episode 16. Episode 16 is epic. It's just such a great script. And the cliffhangers are like, I'm almost like, you've got to have a season 3 just to see what happens. Because they're fantastic cliffhangers. And I think the audience are going to just love the cliffhangers and will be excited for the potential or the possibility of a season 3. So everyone, it's been great actually, because everyone's had really interesting storylines for themselves. And we've had obviously the ensemble thing going on, the trio thing going on, but you know, Xander has had his storyline going on with Natalie, mm-hmm. The young military personnel who's been doubling there at the Anchor Bar. And Rin's had her thing going on with Cammy, Donna's daughter, and, of course, Katrina competing for the position of power. And Helen's had her thing going on with, you know, a new family member and taking care of a couple of the mermaids and now taking care of Sarge.
Well, without getting into anything close to spoiler territory for what we haven't seen yet, how are you enjoying having a meatier role, a more central place in what's going on now that more secrets have come out in Bristol Cove? And are you just loving that you are sort of the mermaid matriarch?
You know, it's been, first and foremost, I'm super blessed. I'm very, very blessed. I love being Helen. Helen is just one of my career highlights when it comes to character. She's just a fantastic character who I have a lot of fun with, and I get juicy moments, and I get light and fluffy, and I get funny moments. She's just a great character. And it has been great for her to be more proactive and have more to do in this new season. I mean, I also, you know, understand formula, and I understand very much that season 1 was about setting up the trio and also establishing some of the mermaid culture so that we came to understand Rin and what Rin needs and how she does need to go back to the water, how she's learning to become human. So it's been wonderful. It's been great as Helen. And, you know, Helen is the old girl on the block. And I've been thrilled that young people really like Helen because You know, it is a Yah show on a Yah network, and they really dig Helen, and I'm thrilled because from my own experience as a teenager or nieces and nephews, they ain't interested in old folk. They don't want to hang out with the old folk, you know. They want to go and hang out with their own age group. So I'm really thrilled. And I actually asked the boss's daughter, because she said, oh, you know, Helen was her favorite. And I said, why do you like Helen? And she just said to me, because she's real. And that was a really telling remark, because I think this is kind of an aspect of the new generation we're growing up with now, you know, in this modern day, and the youth that are growing up with this need for realness versus, you know, the generation I grew up in or other generations. They're a pretty onto it, savvy, smart generation, and they, you know, that's a real big thing for them is keeping it real. And so Helen's really resonated, and I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that people like Helen, because I love her and I love being Helen. And it has been great to have more storyline for Helen, that she has gotten her own storyline. And you're going to see a lot more. Helen goes on her own little journey here. You know, she actually gets to the point where she goes off and certain things happen in her world, and then we all come back together again, and then we go off and we do our own thing. So Helen's got a really juicy, juicy, juicy storyline coming up, particularly in the second eight, which we've been shooting this year. And I can't rave enough about the season finale, episode 16. It's one of the best scripts I've read in a long time, and I'm not saying that just because I'm in the show. It is a fantastic script, and it is such a the whole episode is a cliffhanger, and I'm kind of like, they kind of just have to do season three. It's just left on a mountaintop, you know. It really is. So it's great. I mean, we've all, you know, we're on our last 2 weeks now. We're on our very last episode. We started shooting on Friday, and I was on yesterday and today, and this week, next week is our last week. We finish next Friday. Next Friday is our last day, so there you go. It's gone quick. We've been here since early July. We obviously, they sent us back to go to Comic-Con in July, but we've been here since early July, so it's been a long haul, but a very, very good one. And we're also very blessed because we really love each other, you know, the cast, and we have a fantastic crew. We just have the best crew here in Vancouver, Canada, and Peter, our Canadian producer, and our camera guys, and our grips, and our gaffers, and our cinematographers. We've just got a fantastic team, and we really are a family, you know, and that's helps every show to have that. And I've got to kind of just do a little shout out, because on that subject of TV series and families, you know, I got to just give a shout out to Riverdale for their tragedy. I was just, yeah, like everybody shocked, just absolutely shocked. It's just heartbreaking. So you know, what are they going to do there? Does that character end up getting killed off in the show, or do they recast the role with a new actor? I mean, what do you think will happen?
I haven't the faintest idea. I was in shock all day yesterday when I saw that, because he was a favorite of mine. I've seen him in guest appearances that I've really enjoyed him in, and he was the lead in a sci-fi show about, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago called Jeremiah, that I thought was absolutely brilliant. And just, you know, just finding out he's gone, I'm like, we have too many people leaving this planet too soon. This is not cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I was sitting in here and having my hair done yesterday, because, you know, our hairstylist, as you probably noticed, she curls my hair, and she's a great girl. She's got fantastic curly lines. And she'll often have CNN or something like that on her little, on her iPad, because I like to kind of watch some news, catch up on some news. And we're sitting there, and the announcement comes on, and I just cried. I'm like, this is tragic. It's not that I knew the guy. I didn't work with him, but just it just was so sad. And, you know, they had said a week ago that it was a really huge, massive stroke. And, but, you know, we all kept positive that he would bounce back. And to just see that announcement, I cried, Brenda cried, the makeup girls were crying, because this is somebody, you know, they work here in Vancouver with a lot of the people we work with. And it's like, he's also, you know, I consider him a legend. I mean, he was one of the biggest heartthrobs back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, had a wonderful career. And he did remain very down to earth. And, you know, was a very nice guy. And I loved it. I loved, because KJ Upper, you know, he played his dad. And KJ, like me, is from New Zealand. So I just felt gutted for him and their production. And, you know, I heard today that the production took it very hard. And but these things happen, and it's like you say, way too young, 52. I mean, goodness me. It's just, anyway, rest in peace, Luke Perry, you know, and thanks for his amazing body of work. And that's something I always feel when directors or actors or musicians, artists or writers pass away. You think, you know, their legacy lives on. It's only a fingertip away. You know, you can go back online, or you can grab that book, or you can play that record and still enjoy, you know, the legacy of their lifetime. So, you know, big shout out to his family, because it does, it affects productions, and it, you know, it would be the same on ours if one of our central, if something happened to one of our sets. I'm going to touch wood right now and just go, nothing's going to happen, but these things do happen. And, so, you know, rest in peace. And, you know, condolences to Riverdale, but probably more importantly to his family and friends. Because that was a shock, real shock. And but, you know, it just reminds us, though, you know, and it helps me to make the most of every day, even if it's snowing and it's below 0 degrees and it's freezing cold, or you're shooting in rain. It's just, you know, life, there's only one guarantee. There's only one certainty in this life, and that is we will all make an exit. We come into this world, and we will all leave this world. No doubts, no getting away from that. That's mm-hmm. the only mm-hmm. guarantee life offers us. And none of us know the hour. None of us know, you know, when it could, like you say, that stroke's around the corner, or somebody gets in a car accident. Nobody knows. So it really reinforces that we really have to relish the present moment, because it is a gift. You know, we're alive. We have the gift of life, and we're here, and we're both doing what we love to do, and we're good at it. And just to relish that, and just, you know, just live in the moment, and value people around you, and value your gift of life, because if you're here one day and you go on the next. So so I can, I think, accurately say that, well, you know, Helen is okay. Helen is okay. She goes on a bit of a roller coaster with lots of things happening in her world, but no harm comes to her in this first 8 episode. There may possibly be some harm in the second half, but I'm getting naughty. I better stay away from that.
Right. Well, you mentioned resonating with the fans, and for me, the appeal of Helen is that she stays in the background, or at least in the first season, most of, you know, part of the second season, she stays in the background, tries not to make a lot of, shall we say, make a lot of waves. No pun intended, but she has the really cool shop. She's not afraid to match wits and snarkiness with the younger crowd, and I think that's part of the appeal. And I wanted to know, you mentioned going to Comic-Con. Did the fans come up to you like they did with the trio?
Oh yes, yeah. Yeah, but I've got to be fair, because some of them were also Star Wars fans. And, you know, I've been Tom Lee in I was episode two in it, and I was also in episode three. So there was a bit of that, and then there was also some that were also once were Warriors fans.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, they're excited. People, you know, they genuinely love Helen and care about Helen. And you're right, you know, she's been of service a lot. Her character has really, like, the whole first season was protecting Lynn and protecting Donna and sister and making sure that no harm came to them. And that's a really likable quality, is that she is a servantile. You know, she's all about, like you say, she is happy to, she's not selfish driven, and she doesn't have to be, it's all about me. She's there to help people and do what needs to be done. You know, and doesn't necessarily need a whole lot of drama or applause for what she does, because this is her life. And I remember that very powerfully when we shot the first episode, when we have what we now call Mer recognition, which is Mer people recognizing other Mer people. That moment when she sees Rin for the very first time, that moment has validated Helen's entire life. Because she has grown up in a town where people think she's a bit potty, she's a bit eccentric, she's a bit crazy, maybe a bit of a nut job, because she has always been a believer. And everyone else just think, well, you know, they lighten it, and you've got mermaid fair days and what have you, but she's always been a believer in the history of the town and the reality that these creatures are real. And that moment with Rin, it's like I can almost see in that moment her whole life as, I've not wasted my entire lifetime. You know, this is what I've always believed in, and here it is right in front of me. And so it's her obligation. I think she almost may see it as her duty to be a protector of the Mer people, because they need protection. And, you know, I think they're all very aware of the consequences of somebody getting caught or found out. So they go to any lengths. I mean, Helen didn't hesitate when it was like, okay, we're going to have to house them, feed them, clothe them for 8 months. We need money. Where's the money going to come from? I'll go and break my trust fund. Helen doesn't need it. You know, she doesn't need it. She's going to get that money out of the trust fund from the Pownall. And this is the interesting thing, too, with the Pownall storyline, because Ted Pownall, as was mentioned in season one, he thinks that Helen is the product of an affair that his great-great-grandfather had with a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even know that it was an affair with a mermaid. Helen knows, because she comes from that line. So from that affair that Charles Pownall had with a mermaid, then came the grandmother, and then came my mother, and then Helen. So she's thought, you know, she's one, hang on, let's figure that out, grandmother, mother, that's third, fourth generation. So she's an eighth. Yes, yes, absolutely. Helen's 1/8, and then her mother was a quarter, and then the grandmother was a half. So the grandmother was the product of Charles Pownall and the mermaid. And she's been a keeper of the secret, and a keeper of the lineage, and a keeper of the knowledge to a certain degree, and a keeper of the culture. I mean, just look at her shop. You know, these are things she has spent a lifetime gathering. And it's she's passionate. She's passionate about mermaids. It's her world. So, yeah, it's just a lot of great things happen for Helen. Especially, you know, there's been a lot of, as you've already seen, and we're actually seeing, my goodness, there's only two left to go. You've got seven airing this week. Or you're going to discover something really cool about Helen this episode. when that moment happens, you go, that's the moment you discover something new about Helen, and it's so cool. It's really cool. And then next week is the season finale for the first half. And then the following eight, God, Helen gets some amazing stuff to do in the following eight. So it's been a really, the second eight has been a great ensemble. And I think that the show has found its stride. So everyone's getting a little something. in terms of, like, you got a little bit of this for your audience, you got a little bit of the old girl for this audience, you got a little bit of this, and you got a little bit of that. You know, we just hope our show continues to go from strength to strength, because we'd all really, really love to do a season three. We'd love to do a season three.
I definitely would love to see a season three, too. So you had mentioned before Star Wars. What other projects are you working on outside of Siren these days?
Well, I haven't really been able to work on anything because we've been here for 8 months.
Oh.
I think it is so safe for me to now say that I did two jobs between... So when you're here as a series regular, part of being a series regular is you stay here the whole time. So you can't do other jobs. But on our break between season one and season two, I did two things. I did a cameo role in a really juicy independent Australia film, which is actually a military film, and I did it because a friend of mine was producing it, and I loved the script, and it was a kind of character I'd never played before, and that is going to have its premiere at the Gold Coast Film Festival very soon in Australia. So that was an indie film called Escape and Evasion. And right before I came back to Vancouver for Siren, I played a role in Seth MacFarlane's The Orville, a wonderful role called Havina, and she comes back. She comes back in an episode, and that episode actually is going to air fairly soon, I believe. I think it might even be next week.
No, we'll have to check.
I can look that up. Yeah, it's a great character. I love that character, and I was so flattered that, you know, Seth brought me back for it, because I just love working with Seth, and I just love The Orville, and... You know, it's a lot of prosthetics, but I've had a lot of experience with prosthetics. I was actually Angel. Do you remember the TV series Angel?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was their most elaborate creation on that show back in the day. I played Dinza, D-I-N-Z-A. Dinza was the queen of lost creatures, and that was a finger to toe prosthetic, almost human. It was their biggest creation, and I had wings and everything. So I actually think, remind me what Night Orville screams.
I'm going to have to go look now.
Okay, then I think it's the 12th. I think my episode screams next week. But we can actually get, I can actually probably just look it up online real quickly and tell you. Because it's in March, it's around middle March. Let's see if I can see the name of the episode. So yeah, people need to keep an eye out on Orville, because my character is coming back, and I mean, I had a great monologue the first time I did Orville, but I had even better monologues this episode.
Nice.
I'm just trying to bring up info. Here we go. Yep. Orville. It's The Orville. It's episode 11. Oh, my gosh. It is soon, March 7th. Okay, people, so this is the Orville, episode 11 of the Orville, and the episode is called Sanctuary, and it is March 7th, which is this Thursday. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we're going to have to, we're going to have to tweet that then.
Yeah, it's on the same night as Siren. Wow. Okay, The Orville, folks. Episode 7, Sanctuary. It's a wonderful, wonderful episode. It was a fantastic script, and they got some pretty big names cast in this episode. I was privileged to sit there and watch some amazing actors work. And I think it's going to be a fantastic episode. So that's March 7th. But, of course, we've all got Siren, which is episode 7, and then the episode 8 will be next week, and then there'll be a break. We're not sure when they'll start screening the next 8, but it's going to be a lot to keep people going.
Cool. So tell our listeners and fans where they can find you online.
Online, mostly now I do Instagram, which is just at Rena Owen, R-E-N-A-O-W-E-N. Look for the blue tick. I mostly post there, and if they want to leave comments, I tend to will always reply when I, you know, when I sit down to do social media. And the thing I like about Instagram is, you know, you post there and you can post it to Facebook and Twitter at the same time. And I don't get too distracted on Instagram. I used to do Facebook when I first started social media, and I would just get caught up in watching videos, reading articles, and I'd never get any work done. So Instagram has been better for me. So, yeah, Rena Owen on Instagram, Rena Owen on Twitter, and on Facebook, I'm the Rena Owen because somebody else had Rena Owen. So just got to look for that blue tick, and you know, which is the real one, because we've all, thanks to Freeform, got that little blue tick.
There you go. I say, you have lots of pictures of the cast from Siren on your Instagram?
Yeah, I do. I do. I tend to use the page to promote the show. And that's here. I've got some behind-the-scenes stuff. I post little trailers that they put out. I do little posts to remind people. You know, when the episode's screening, I do links to media. So, yeah, there's a nice eclectic mix there. Every now and again, I'll get a Ton Wee thing, or you get a Once Were Warriors thing. I try to mix it up a little bit, but while the show's airing, I pretty much use it to promote the show. So, but this week, well, after the Orville has aired, I'll be able to share some Orville photos.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got a lot of great Siren photos to share as well. But, you know, you have to wait till the episodes air before you can kind of share behind the scenes, because you don't want to be giving away scene spoilers. But so this coming week, after this Thursday, I'll have new stuff for Siren, and I'll have some new interesting stuff for the Orville.
Great. So we will keep an eye out on those. Rena, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're so welcome.
This show really resonates with me, and Helen is just one of the characters that really hooked me into the show. Just Helen and Rin together is something special to watch. And then the trio just makes it, you know, that's the whipped cream on top, so...
Thank you so much. And I welcome, happy to talk to you anytime. You're going to have some stuff to talk about by the end of it, I can tell you now.
some
really good stuff. And I'll be always very happy to talk with you and chat with you. And it's been great to catch up. And thank you for your support.
Yeah, very welcome. Maybe we'll get you back on after season two is concluded and just dive into all the everything that's happened. How about that?
We can talk about all that stuff that I can't talk about today.
Exactly.
some really good stuff, trust me. Some really good stuff. So thank you, and thank you to all your listeners. And don't forget to tune in to Siren this week, 8 p.m. on Freeform, and The Orville at 9 p.m. on Fox. This Thursday, I'm in two shows this Thursday. How cool is that? That is pretty cool. I'm
awesome.
Glad I looked that up for you, because I had totally forgotten. Okay, peeps, you take care, and we'll talk again soon.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest now is Alex Rowe from Freeform's Siren. You may know him as Ben Palnell, who is having an adventure here in season two. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what, for you, has been, I guess, the most exciting or challenging piece of character development for Ben.
I think that, during this season, Ben's kind of had to recover a little bit from, his realization of his mental state at the end of season one. So I think we're seeing Ben kind of battle with that. So that's definitely been interesting to explore. I think Ben's desire to really to help Rin and help her colony is kind of getting stronger and stronger. And I think that his relationship with his family is falling apart as they get more entwined with the oil company and they get more entwined with the bad things. I think what's been interesting to play is the fact that like Ben's found his own family, you know, in Maddie and Rin, and in his desire to protect the creatures that protect themselves.
Where do you think Ben's, I guess, newfound loyalty to his new family will take him? Without going into any spoilers.
Zero spoilers. But I think that as an advocate for justice, as this defender of creatures that can't defend themselves, as a man who hates hypocrisy, and a man who's not motivated by status, I think all of these things kind of putting him at odds with his family, and I think that ultimately he will to save Rin. I think he will do anything. I think he will do anything to protect his family, and it's going to be interesting in the tail end of this season to see where the writers kind of situation are going to put Ben in order to test that. But I think that he's really willing to do anything.
They've the writers have definitely added some twists here with Xander's new friend and Maddie's mom showing up. That sort of adds a little pressure to the entire cove. What sort of character interactions make you excited? Like when you see the writers give you like a really juicy scene, what type of scene really, really excites you to actually act it out?
As you touched on the kind of the new Nicole character, she's very interesting. This like duplicitous, I think is the right word. And seeing Xander kind of falling for the trap, and seeing Xander at the end of episode 7, seeing him starting to piece it all together, I think that's such a great setup for episode 8, because kind of like we really don't know as we get into this season finale. We really don't know where the military are. We really don't know, but all we know is that they got us out of jail. So time is kind of on the essence. We need to rescue these mermaids as soon as possible, get them back in the water, try and stop this oil company, and all under the potential watchful eye of the military. It makes it for a very exciting mid-season finale. Approaching those scenes was definitely a lot of fun. As far as you're kind of on the run. You're on the run in this way. You don't know who. So that's all fun, definitely for sure.
How has it been acting with all of the new mer people? Because some of them are very intriguing in their mannerisms and their physicality, and I just love, you can look at them and see that they are really getting into being mer people.
Totally. There's everyone who's coming in to play these roles is taking it really, really seriously, and they're realizing the kind of the magical thing that Aline Powell created in season one, and they're really wanting to build on that and to be a part of that. And so we're so lucky that we've got these actors that are so committed to these roles. And you see them, Ben, I just get to watch them work their way around the house and like discover things for the first time, and all have their own like different personalities. You know, you've got like the healer, you've got the warrior, you've got this different dynamic with the matriarchal society and the effect that has on them. And then you've got Katrina who wants to be leader, but Rin's the leader. It's been really, really interesting to watch them get so into what they're doing. We're very lucky, just because it's such an interesting twist on this mermaid legend. You know, like having them as these kind of this predators in the ocean, these apex predators who need to be incredibly strong and need to be incredibly smart in order to survive day to day, and then put them in like an environment that isn't their natural habitat. I think for the actors playing them, I think it's just great that they've all seen it as much of an opportunity as it actually is, you know, because it's definitely an interesting acting experience for them. So that was very long-winded.
No, it's awesome. I also follow the Twitter activity, the live tweeting when the show is on, and the never ending love for Ben and his adventures is fun to read. How much interaction with the fans do you get?
We've had such an amazing experience with our fans and our fan base that seems to be like so into what we're putting down. So on set we're always just wanting to make something that our fans are going to really, really enjoy. So when we get little bits of feedback, and someone will read out a tweet, or someone will read out like an Instagram post or something like that, and it's amazingly gratifying, you know. We just want to keep making stuff that excites them. So we're incredibly grateful for our fan base, for sure.
Well, we are incredibly grateful to the performances you are putting out and the rest of the cast. I personally really love this show, and I am also among the people waiting to hear about a season 3, but more importantly, next week, we have the mid-season finale, which I'm sure is going to be loaded with cliffhangers, so we'll all be watching on that. Alex, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for yours.
And that is Alex Rowe, who plays Ben Palnell on Siren, which you can catch on Freeform, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And yes, since this is going out a little later than usual, Sunday night, Monday morning instead of Saturday, the chance to see Rena in the Orville has shifted. You can't watch it live, but you could probably still find it on demand. Look for the episode Sanctuary and catch her in full alien makeup gear. And of course, tune in to see both Rena and Alex in Freeform's season 2 mid-season finale on Freeform on March 14th, Thursday, March 14th. This is a fun show. I hope it gets a third season, especially given all the teasers that both Rena and Alex talked about coming up for the second half of season 2. And we will throw a little geek love out to the universe to make that happen. But if you have any questions or comments regarding Siren or Black Lightning or The Gifted or the upcoming shows, like I think Happy is returning soon, which means not far after that should be Killjoys and The Expanse and Game of Thrones. and we'll talk about those when they come around. Is anyone watching Deadly Class? I need to know. I need to know who's watching Deadly Class. I need some feedback on Deadly Class. And you can do that by calling in to our voicemail line. That's 602-635-6976. Or you can send an email to summer@sliceofscifi.com. I am here to answer any of your questions, to comment on any of your comments. Feel free to cut loose and dive in to the deep end of the geek pool. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, you can leave us a review. Tell us, tell everyone who might be browsing iTunes or Stitcher what you enjoy about Slice of Sci-Fi, and help other people decide whether or not to listen for themselves and enjoy the show, have some fun too. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. Yes, for the most part, I will respond on Twitter to most commentary. And you can also comment on commentary I put out there about various shows and goings-ons, movies. Noah and Darren have a new review of Captain Marvel up on our YouTube channel. You can check that out, weigh in on the comments there or on the website. That YouTube channel, you can just go to youtube.com/sliceofscifi. You should be able to find us there, or search on Slice of Sci-Fi, find the videos. I believe Darren will be checking out Shazam this week, just for you guys. Of course, you can weigh in on any of the reviews they do on the YouTube channel, but you can also leave your own comments here on the website, sliceofscifi.com. Stir up some conversation, join in on a conversation that's already there. Believe it or not, you can actually leave your own review for the reviews that are there. Say we give something 4 stars, you thought it only deserved 3. Go ahead, weigh in with that. Back up your opinions. Have your say. That's why, that's why the review button is there for you to utilize. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting our efforts here through donations and the pledges through Patreon. All of your support, your financial support, does go to help defray costs for hosting the websites, hosting the media. So help us help you provide better coverage, better service. Because all of your donations help support not just Slice of Sci-Fi, but Babylon Podcast, Writers After Dark, the archives for Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas, the archives for Winging It, which probably will be going away come August. So if you want to archive those, you should speed up your timetable if you haven't already. Charlie Jade is still out there. Dragon Page is still out there. Many of those old shows are out there, but some of them winding down because they have, I figure 10 years is long enough to archive something, and I need the bandwidth, the space, the mental bandwidth to make more improvements to Slice of Sci-Fi, to make this show better for you guys. And if you want to help support all these goings on, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if you're more comfortable just making a one-time donation every now and then, the PayPal.me link is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And again, thank you everyone who is supporting. It is greatly appreciated. I'd also like to throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for the theme music you hear on Slice of Sci-Fi. If you like that type of geek rock, please go to their website, sci-fried.com, and continue supporting their efforts. They have awesome covers, by the way, including a really, really good one, For Whom Babylon Tolls. I can't find that one. But they have Dr. Jones, which is funny. And over on YouTube, I believe you can find their Zombie Prison Blues, which is always, always a fun listen. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.